Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Chapter 7 is the Lord giving instructions on how we ought to see the world and how we ought to behave in light of what we are seeing. So while you're finding your place in verse 13, we go through and we see, hey, listen, don't go trying to fix your brother's eye. You know, when he's got a little, don't go take the little speck out of your brother's eye when you got a giant weaver's beam in yours. Get the stuff out of your eye and then go help them. Now, the world would stop it right there, and they would say, hey, listen, if you've got issues, don't go tell other people they got issues. Let's all just keep our issues. No, the Lord says, take yours out, and then go help your brother so that everybody can see. And he goes through, he's giving them different things, doing unto others as you have them to do. When their son asked them bread, would give them a serpent. Talking different things like that, taking us down to verse 13, where it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As we were looking at this, he's telling them, there is a right gate and a wrong gate. And everyone is using the wrong one. It is broad. It is wide. Many people are going through it. It looks popular. Anybody here, when you're leaving a carnival or maybe like an event, you can't remember where the freeway is, so you follow the biggest chunk of cars, trusting that they're headed towards the freeway too. We used to do that. It's not always good. We got GPS now. We're past such things. But that's the way you used to do it. You just kind of found the biggest group of people. You followed them on over, and you just trusted that we would end up at the freeway. Lord says, don't do that. You can't follow the biggest group. You see, in order to be acceptable, in order to find yourself accepted in this world, you got to accept a lot of things. You got to be tolerant of a lot of things. You've got to be able to sit there and say, well, I'm a Baptist, you're a Presbyterian, you're a Lutheran, you're this. But I tell you what, as long as we can say the name of Jesus, we're all going to heaven. That's not how it goes. Well, hey, listen, me as a Christian, I can agree with your lifestyle or disagree with your lifestyle, but it doesn't matter. I've just got to affirm what you believe and whatever you believe and make you feel good. That's not what it says. That's not good for them either. Hey, listen, I could be real compassionate towards my kids. You know, my daughter last night, she woke up having a nightmare, bless her heart. Listen, it used to be you calm the kids down. I'll just admit it. Danielle's been waiting for me to admit this for a while. I am a different parent the fourth time around. And maybe you can commiserate with me a little bit. I was Mr. By the Book for Xander. All right, keep him up, calm him down, give him hugs, get him right back to bed. Get him right back to bed. Last night, little girl had a nightmare. I brought her down, gave her a bowl of popcorn, some water out of her special sippy cup. Sat there, we watched TV for a little bit, so waiting for her to calm down. Might have taken some pictures on my phone. I don't know. You know, I'm sitting there going, you know, this never would have happened. I've changed a little bit. That's what you got to do. You got to get soft. These old-fashioned values that you got to get soft on them for this newer generation and make them feel happy, make them feel comfortable, make them feel good. That's not good for them. You're lying to them. Under what circumstances is lying to somebody good? Under what circumstances is allowing somebody to go onto the path of destruction a nice thing to do? It's not. We need to understand that there is a right and there is a wrong. Let's continue on our reading. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We have preached that there are good preachers and there are bad preachers. And I'll be honest with you, it has very little to do with their charisma. It has very little to do with their presentation. It has everything to do with what they believe and what they do and what they preach. If they're not preaching the sound word of God, it's not a good preacher. If they are ashamed of certain aspects of the Bible, they are not a good preacher. They could have all of the dazzling skill a man can possess, but if they do not possess scriptural knowledge, they're not a good preacher. Number two, if they are not doing those things, it's one thing for a man to have the truth and to preach the truth and to get amen for the truth. It is another thing entirely if he's going home and not obeying those things. He must honor the word of God in the pulpit and out. And that is where the Lord says, you will know them by their fruit. What are they producing? What are they doing? When we sit there and we turn on the 6 o'clock news and there's Pastor so-and-so who's been arrested for this, that, and the other. That is not a good preacher if he's guilty. If he's guilty of those things, that is not a good preacher. We sit there, you know, I've been taught certain things that a pastor can or cannot do by a man. And that man went and did the things that a pastor was not supposed to do. And guess what he's continuing on doing? He's still out there preaching. Oh, he lost the church. He just skipped town, went to another country, and he's acting as a missionary there. Under whose support, I'd like to know. But hey, listen, once you transgress the law of God, you've transgressed the law of God. You got to own up to it. You got to stand in accountability for it. So it's possible to have a bad teacher. What did I say? How they've preached it, how they preach it, how they live it. Right? Those things are paramount. All right? And we are seeing people hurt by preachers and pastors who are not teaching the truth. I wonder how many people die expecting to find themselves in heaven because they grasped the hand of some Arminian preacher or because they got up and they were soaked as a baby. I wonder how many people said, I thought I was fine because the preacher said, if I just tithe this much money, I would be okay. I wonder how many people woke up in hell looking for a refund. Bible says their blood's on that man's hands for lying to them. And we see there, what are they? How does the Lord describe these men? Because again, there's always the question, how many of them are just innocently re-preaching the wrong doctrines? And how many of them know they're wrong? Well, let's look at what the Lord has to say. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ravening wolves. Does that sound good? Hey, what do you? I'll call somebody up. Hey, listen, what do you want me to give you? I'll call JR up, my brother-in-law. Hey, what do you want me to give Leah for Christmas this year? Would some ravening wolves be okay? Hey, listen, we're having a party over here. We need some entertainment. What do we need? How about some ravening wolves? Some hungry, ferocious, predatorial wolves. Would we like some of that? Under no circumstances is that good. They'll always seek to hurt to fill their bellies. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the Joel Osteens. We're seeing the Crayflo Dollar. A preacher named Crayflo Dollar preaching that you got to send in your money for God to bless you. I mean, come on. That's a little bit too on the nose, isn't it? That's the devil making fun of us. There was this video that was going around, and apparently we were supposed to all be very worried about it. It was this video where the devil was supposed to be filling in for a Sunday school teacher. I can't remember the name of the title, and I wouldn't say it from the pulpit if I did. But essentially what this guy does, and I didn't watch too much of it, but essentially the devil shows up to Sunday school class and he's trying to teach atheism and how the this is how he does it. The very first argument he makes is that pastors are lying to you and scholars have special information they're trying to hide from you. Now, what does that sound like? Does that not sound like what he did in the garden? I'm not what you think I am. What I know isn't what you think it is. Right? I have special information. They brought in these guys they call Bible scholars. You know who they brought in? They brought in atheists. Atheists who studied the Bible in a secular college, who don't even believe the stuff, telling them, oh yeah, the book of Daniel is a fake, and going on and stuff like that. And then they'll trace it back to some erroneous arguments. Here's the kind of arguments they make. Well, they changed what the Bible said about me in the New Testament. That's what the guy playing the devil, they changed it. Didn't say how, didn't say why, didn't say where, just they changed it. And you're supposed to go, oh, well, since it's special information, okay. You're not giving anything, no facts, no background, nothing, just, well, they lied. And your pastor's lying. They learned all this stuff in seminary, but they're hiding it from me. Well, listen, I've picked up a lot of seminary readings. And I went to college. I was taught among some other preachers that had gone to college, some accredited men. And you know what? None of the things they were saying, I'd ever heard before. Never once. But all of a sudden, all pastors are lying to you because they know stuff that they're not telling you. It's ridiculous. Oh, God just doesn't want you to know. Come on. There's good teachers, and there's bad teachers. And again, this world, they go, oh, but it's such a good presentation. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to go in at what? The broad gate? The wolves are going, come on! Look at what we can do! Look at what we can go see! You can't do that at your church. Your pastor won't let you. Your religion won't let you. But if you come to the broad gates, well, you can do anything you want. You could be a United Methodist Buddhist, and it's fine. You could believe that your salvation comes from having never killed another thing. I tell you what, you'd be able to get to heaven. You could define what being a good person is, then decide that being a good person gets you into heaven, and you're fine in the broad way. Oh, come on, say the wolves, come this way. And why? Because they're ravening. They're hungry. They want the money they get off of you. And they're willing to say anything they can to get it from you. And they're willing to try to twist and manipulate the definitions of things so they can confuse you and get your money and get your following. That's what they want. That's what they want. Why do you think some of these big time preachers have gone from standing on hard line facts, hard line scripture, and all of a sudden they start backing down? All of a sudden, you know, a man or a woman is whatever you want it to be. Marriage is whatever you want it to be. Did you hear about that preacher? That preacher who got up and said, hey, it's perfectly okay to go to a gay or transgender wedding. Oh, he got himself in some big trouble this week. Surprised a lot of people. You know who it didn't surprise? Me. Why? Because when you get used to the money, when you get used to the popularity and society shifts, you shift with it. If doctrine, if scripture has not anchored you to the truth, you'll be tossed about too. We need to shun the wolves. What does it say here? You'll know them by their fruit. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're producing. Oh, I am. I went to their conference. They had thousands in there. Okay, that's wonderful. Hey, listen, could we fill a room with thousands of our kind of Baptists? I don't know, maybe. I'd like to see us fill the church this year at the conference. Yeah, I'm praying for that. I'd like to see us need to get the chairs out again. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I might just go down there, get one of those padded chairs that we use, leave it up here somewhere so we can just look at it every now and then and pray. Just pray. Maybe we'll find, maybe the service will be so hot, we'll find some revival, and that revival will go back to other churches, and they'll catch on fire. Maybe some good will come out of it. Maybe we ought to do that. What is the fruit? Oh, I went there, there was thousands. That's wonderful. How many heard the truth preached? Well, the preaching wasn't very big. You know how people don't really like preaching. So it was a lot of music and there was a lot of emotion. Well, if you want a lot of emotion, you know, I could send you some cute baby and kitten videos, you know. I send you those if you like emotion. I could introduce you to some really good music you can listen to, going to evoke a lot of emotion. I could send you some poetry. You know, I read something Sister James wrote this week, kind of teared me up a little bit reading it. Man, I tell you, you want emotion, I'll give you emotion, but you're going to need the truth. I'll tell you what, nothing gives me emotions like the truth. You might be able to choke me up with a song here or there, but conviction comes from truth, and it preached and taught and read through Scripture. So I tell you what, we got some bad gates. We got some bad teachers. They seek your destruction. You'll know them by their fruit. They do destructive things. They hurt people. Not just with their false teaching, not just with their bad advice giving, but they hurt people physically and literally. They institute dangerous things into the church and allow dangerous things to happen. I tell you what, you get a big church and something bad happens within the church and there's a cover up for it and this, that, and the other. Destructive things are allowed to go on with no checks or balances when a wolf leads the pack. Because remember, the wolf seeks to solve its ravenous problem. It wants to fill itself. The master, the shepherds, the under-shepherds, they seek your health. They seek your education. They seek you to be made better and to be made stronger so that you become victims to nobody. That's what your Lord wants. That's what your pastor wants for you. But a man who is used to doing things for the sake of whatever he can get out of it, he'll betray you in a second. If it's you or his belly, he'll choose the belly. So we see here again the wrong gate. We see here the wrong teachers. But aren't you glad that there's also a right? Let's go back again to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now what is the problem with the wrong teacher? The wrong teacher will consume you, will use you, will make merchandise out of you. What is the problem with the wrong gate? It leads to destruction. The problem that we have over doctrine, over how to be saved, is not an opinion issue. It's not a pride issue. It's the fact that if you're on the wrong path, it leads to hell. And you don't get to pick once you're on the other side of it. You don't get to sit there and say, wait a minute, I was lied to. You better know what you're looking at is what you're looking at. You need to be certain of it. And God has given all mankind the right and the privilege and the access to the truth. Number one bestseller right here. It's been provided for us, preserved through us down through the ages. We've always had access to the truth. We just need to simply quit messing with it. We need to quit twisting it. We need to quit trying to teach it the way modern man tries to teach it and teach it the way Jesus did. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen, there's only one way to get through that gate. One. There's only one way to live that life more abundant that he spoke about. I've heard people use this passage of scripture to say it talks about salvation. I've heard people talk about, well, it's about your lifestyle choices. Hey, man, I say, why not both? There's one way through that gate. There's one way to find it. Because I'll tell you don't see a lot of people without Christ looking for it. They're more than happy. Hey, listen, this is pretty comfortable. This is pretty easy. This is what everyone's saying. So why not? These churches have thousands. These churches are all over the place. These people out there who don't need church, and they're more than happy, and there's a ton of them. Why not let the bottles and the pills and the addictions be my God? Why not let just being a good person, or I've got this cousin, well, we're just trying to not be jerks. Let that be your religion. But you're going to find yourself walking through the path that leads to destruction. There's one way, and that is to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I get so frustrated reading tracts nowadays. I like tracts. You like tracts? I like reading tracts. I'm already saved. I'm not looking for anything new. I just think they're interesting. I'll pick them up. Well, you need to make Jesus your Savior. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. That's how you have salvation. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. Listen. This right here has enough to work on. It doesn't need something physically inside of it. Let's look at what that is, and let's look at what we mean. We should be meaning, I admit that I am a sinner. Not only am I sorry for it, but I'm going to repent of it and repel it away from my life. I know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean that I can be saved too. And I don't mean pray that specific prayer and the hocus pocus magic of the words will bring to you salvation. I'm talking about a holy God cleansing you of all unrighteousness, adopting you into his family. That's what I'm talking about. And instead, we try to make it cutesy. We try to make it broad. We try to make it open. Well, I was baptized for salvation. Is that the same? Well, as long as you believe that Jesus was entering into your hearts. Come on. No, there's one way. Now listen, we don't say there's one way so we can be proud of having found it. We didn't find it because we were clever. We didn't find it because we were smart. We didn't find it because we were special. We found it because the Holy Spirit grabbed us by the hand and said, hey, guess what day it is? There was a day written before the earth began spinning. Before there were days, there was a day written down for you. Guess what day it is? Take a look over there. What do you see? I see this little gate over there. It's not very well worn. Now over here, they got popcorn vendors and cotton candy and music, and everybody's over here. My family's over here. Everybody I respect is over here. All the funny people on the television are over here. Look, the problem isn't what you see on this side of the gate. The problem is what you can't see on the other. This one leads to destruction. This one leads to life. Ain't no version of what we would want to call life down in hell. There's no wonder, there's no fun, there's no creation, nothing. There's no good days, there's no bad days, there's just the fire and the regret. But you go down that way. You go down the straight way. You open up that door. And you'll find an eternity of life you couldn't even buy here on earth. And what of those that go on the other side and they're living that life? Those that believe that this passage of Scripture is talking about a lifestyle. Hey, what a great lifestyle. Living for Jesus. When you have aches and you have pains and you have problems and you have worries and you can get down on your knees and say, Lord, help me. And he grants you peace when you shouldn't have peace. And rest when you want to stay up and worry. When he grants you solutions. Oh, it's never the way we want it to look. Never the way we expect it to be. But it's there. It's there in ways that don't make no sense. There's life. Now, what on the other side, a shepherd, as Brother Clark got up and preached, a shepherd wants the best for the sheep. He wants the absolute best for them. He wants them to thrive. He wants them to do well. He gets up when he sees that it's getting hot and the wool is getting thick and they shear the sheep. Why? So they can do well. He sees that they have fallen over and they're cast on their side, and he gets them back up before they get too sick, and he calls the veterinarian and he gives them the antibiotic and he makes sure that nothing can get in. And I like Brother Clark brought in those big old dogs. Those big old dogs they'll put in there. I've seen those in the farming shows, different things. They'll put a big old dog in there with the sheep and the dog's just kind of there. No wolf wants to get anywhere near that beast. You know? Just puts the dog there, make sure no predators get in. And if predators do take too much notice, they're quick to shoot them. They're quick to get them out of there. Run them away from the flock. Why? Because the shepherd cares for the sheep. But these ravening wolves, they seek only to consume and hurt. They don't even care if the lamb's dead or not before they begin to eat it. And that is what we see. The wrong teachers, they'll mess you up. Whether they mean to or not, they'll mess you up. But Christ will give you that Psalm 23 experience that we heard about last week, where he leads you beside the still waters, where he makes you to lie down in green pastures, because he loves you and he cares for you. And any pastor, any worth his salt, any pastor to be called pastor ought to love the people for the sake of the people. Not for his ego, not for his own wealth, not for his own desires, but for their own good. If a pastor should teach his people so well that when he's wrong, they know. They know. That's a mark. I tell you, that's a mark of a good pastor. That is the mark of a good pastor, when the people in the congregation know just as much as he does, if not a little bit more. That's what you want. That's the goal, by the way. Not to have some things for yourself so you always kind of stand a little bit ahead. Now listen, the pastor ought to be the hardest Bible studier in the whole church. He ought to be working harder than anybody else so he can provide for you and teach you and bring you along the way. He ought not be the less studious of the group. I tell you what, if the church is close to him, as far as knowledge goes, if they're on his level, he's doing a good job. So there's the wrong teachers, there's the right teachers. There's a wrong gate, and there's a right gate. See, a right teacher, they'll teach truth. And they mean good. And they'll put things into place for good things to happen. And they'll push for good things to happen. They'll want good things to happen. They'll prepare for good things to happen. Why? Because they love the flock of God. Because they love God's people. And they're willing to do everything they can. And then there is a result. There's a result to all of this. Verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Guys, kids, we found it. Splat, we found it. What happens to people who preach and proclaim and walk on the wrong path? Oh, but now hold on. I was a deacon of the board for 30 years. I tithed and I gave and I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils, like that guy I used to work with at the McDonald's going over to Walmart, touching people on the scooters just to see them get up and walk out of the store. Count that a miracle? I healed people. What do you mean you don't know me? I've said your name a dozen times a day all my life. I don't know you. You never repented of your sins. You never trusted me as your Savior. You never saw your need for what anything I had to say. You just made up your own stuff and put my name on it. I don't know you. Go. And then he likens the man who listens and does to the person. And you know this parable. We sang this parable, and I think the kids learned it in Sunday school today. Anybody here, you heard the parable of the man who built his house on the sand? When you hear that in Sunday school this morning, all right. There we go. We know this. The fool, what did he do? He built the house on sand. Why? Beachfront property, man. Come on. I don't want to get up and have to go down to the water, catch my fish. I want to be able to just kind of open the door, throw it out the window, you know? Hey, I want to put right on the sand. It's nice, it's easy, it's soft. Yeah, it gets all over the place inside the house, but that's why we have brooms. Hey, it's easy. Yeah, it's problematic. Yeah, every now and then a storm comes in and the water gets up on the porch, and that's a bit of a... But you know, we get past that, and sure, yeah, the crabs, they're coming in. You know, the crabs, the sand mites. We have sand mites all over the house. But other than that, man, look at the view. You cannot beat this view unless we take the trash out and the seagulls come and they're all over the front yard. That's a bit of a problem. But beyond that, you understand that's what everybody on the broad path is doing. The view is fantastic. The vacation-like perks are unbelievable. Oh, but yeah, there's parasites and... The very things that we're doing are making life harder to live. And yes, we're in an incredibly large amount of danger. But beyond that, we are among some great things. And that's what they do. They take the great things and they entice people. Look at what we have on the broad path. Oceanfront property. Come to the beach. And then what happens when the storm hits? Now that storm, we could look at that storm from two different aspects. Number one, the hard times of life. I've heard a few of you, when you've gone through procedures and surgery, say this. Brother Bill's good at saying this. I wouldn't want to go through this without the Lord. I've heard some of y'all say it, and I know y'all mean it too. The decisions that they made come back on them. And they've got nothing built to fix the problems because they refuse to admit that the things that they're doing is causing problems, and it wrecks them. The one sip of wine or the one glass of wine a week becomes a massive problem when you're let go from your job and you're having issues with your spouse and there's medical debt in the house and it's just there's huge problems. All of a sudden, one glass becomes a major problem. Can't remember how many teachers it's been so far that they put out there that were, it was between 2022 and 2023, that were fired on the spot for coming into work with a tumbler with wine in it already. Talk about teachers, first, third, fourth, fifth grade, that kind of range, coming to school teaching children with wine in their cups. And once they started getting a little tipsy, other teachers were like, hey, there's a problem here. I'm not picking. I'm not being, addiction is a terrible thing. But I tell you what, when you play with the thing that addicts you, don't be surprised when it takes you. And ultimately, what happens in the end, that other version of destruction, where you finally get up to where you've been waiting, and you pass through that door, and you realize, all those people that came to my door, knock, knock, knocking. That coworker who tried to sit me down and explain the gospel to me, and I laughed in their face. They were right. It's a beautiful thing when faith becomes sight. It's a terrible thing when a lack of faith becomes sight. When you see that you were wrong. And in those moments, a world's worth of decisions, a life's worth of decisions, comes crashing down upon them. And they know. And they can't go to the teachers. And they can't go to the podcast people. And they can't go to the YouTube people. And they can't go to the TikTok people. And they can't go to the professors and the entertainers and the politicians. They can't go to them and say, you failed me. They can't do it. Not even if they found them in hell could they do it. For they'd be so occupied. so occupied with the pain, with the misery. There will be no, I can't believe you taught me this down there. For in the afterlife, we all have wisdom. There will be many that hear, depart from me. And yet there will be many that hear what? Well done. Well done. Now what did the people who hear well done get? Did they do well because they guessed well? No. Did they do well because God looked at the sum of what they've done and said, yeah, that's all right, yeah, that's pretty good. No. What's well done? How do you get well done? You do what God tells you. It is through obedience to the word, not random happenstance and luck. It is through obedience to the word, not your skill level. It's obedience. It's obedience. To number one, seeing myself as a sinner. Believing Jesus came and died on the cross for sinners. Repenting of my sin and asking God to include me in that number. And then from there, every day of my life, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Okay. Now how about this? What would you have me do? Okay. Lord, how would you want me to approach this? Lord, what decision ought I make here? Lord, I'm in a pickle and I don't know what to do. Send help. Right, as Brother Charlie brought to us this morning in the devotion. Lord, have some mercy. Show mercy. Send mercy. There is a straight gate. There's a broad path. There are good shepherds and there are ravening wolves. There are those that will find themselves with everything they've built in ruins. And then there are people who will be found upon the rocks, who've built their house with a firm foundation. And that foundation being the truth of God's word. That is the only way. Now, I like the way he put it. I like the way he put it. When it comes down to a gate, do I get to pick where it is? Nope. Now, if I'm building a gate for myself, absolutely. But if I'm just looking for an entrance into something, do I get to pick? Have you ever gone someplace and you're like, man, you put the entrance in a weird spot? I was visiting a place one time. It was one of the properties that we were running. And I was looking for their office, couldn't find their office. You want to know where their office was? It was one of the apartments inside. They had turned the apartment into an office. It was actually the office I worked out of for a little bit until we built a brand new one over there. I just came and I go, this is weird. You had to go up a flight of stairs just to go up another flight of stairs. So if anybody had a wheelchair or anything like that, there was nothing you could do for them. It was kind of hard. You couldn't find the place unless you were looking for the signs. It was very difficult to find. And then when we rebuilt the place, had the area bulldozed down, and they built up this nice office. Man, it was handicap accessible. You knew it was an office because it looked like an office. We had everything around it to make it look like a place that does business. It was nice. We were in there, and we were building the stuff for the desks and setting up the files, and we were having a good time making it look like a place to do business in. But I tell you what, at first they didn't really have an option. They had to pick, they had whatever was there in order for them to house their office. The door was hard to find. I tell you what, we don't get a choice in what gets one to heaven or hell. You don't get to sit there and cobble together the best you can, and here it is, and I'll hope you accept it. It's almost like pottery class or home ec in high school. You ever take that? Where you sit there and you're doing your best rendition of a snickerdoodle, and you're bringing it to the teacher, and you know they're pretty much hockey pucks, but you're just hoping, you know? That's not how it is. You either follow the instructions in the word and get to the right door, or you do what feels good for you, and you get to the wrong door. Meanwhile, there's a flurry of talk and conversation. Meanwhile, there are people shouting, come this way, come this way, come this way. Go that way, go that way, go that way. I won't do it this morning because it's Sunday morning, but let's say I were to pick one of these kids. Charlie, let's pick on Charlie. And I were to blindfold Charlie. And I would say, Charlie, your job is to get to Brother Dennis, grab a peppermint, and bring it to me. But you're going to be blindfolded. Now, would that be easy or hard? It might be hard, but I think you could do it. Right? I think you could do it. Now, here's what's going to happen is, Charlie, while you're doing that, I'm going to be shouting instructions to you. Left, right, forward a little bit more, all right, to help you out. But also, everybody else in the church is going to be shouting the opposite directions. Go forward, go backward, you went too far. Would that be harder? It would be very much harder. That's life, by the way, young people. That's life. You're going to have one or two voices telling you the truth and a bunch of others telling you stuff that's going to help benefit them. Right. Either help make misery, help make you company for their misery, or help make or get money out of your pocket and into theirs. That's what it is. And that's what we see. We don't get to pick the gates. We simply follow the directions to get to it. And here's the world. Come this way. Be one. You don't have to do that. Look, we made a cartoon on YouTube where the devil teaches Sunday school. He'll tell you stuff. Oh, look, we've got cartoons that use cuss words. They'll tell you how to live. Look, we've got this person who's supposed to be teaching geography, but really all they're going to be doing is spewing anti-Christian and leftist political nonsense, right? And by the way, here's Atlanta. That's what's going to happen in this world. That's what is happening in this world. When you're sitting there in a geography class and it's got a question on Democrats versus Republicans, you got a problem. It's like, we're studying the Swiss Alps. What are we doing? I don't know. Well, all right, we need to stop and have a conversation about how Christianity doesn't make any sense. This is gym class. What are we doing? Hey, come this way. Misery loves company. And if you like, subscribe, comment, I'll make a little bit more money. If you buy my book, you'll make a little bit more money. If you do this, if you do that, I can help you. Or I like those get rich quick schemes they pull on men. All right, now listen, we're going to teach you how to be the most masculine you've ever been. We're going to teach you how to be great at business. We're going to teach you how to make a lot of money. And here's what you need to do. Sign up for our $4,000 class. Buy our $200 book and attend. And I'm sitting there going, is that the class? Write a book, charge people $4,000 to have you explain it to them. Is that how to make is that because that's how they're making money. That's how they're doing it. I wonder what these guys are coming out knowing. Right? And then you find a whole bunch of others doing the same thing. Here I am next to this Ferrari, whatever it's called. And here I am with these massive pile of books. Come follow me. $5,000 from a seminar. I'll tell you how to get where I am today. Come on. Come on. Hey, listen. We all love God, right? Yeah, but we don't want to take everything seriously in the book. Come on. And then that door opens. And that door opens. And those people are pulled inside. The choice is over. The time is over. There's no more. There's no second chances. There's no pity. There's no, hey, one more. You rejected it all your life. And you followed the crowd. And the crowd failed you. But for those that go on the straight gate, those that follow the good shepherds, those who follow the good shepherd, those who build their house upon a rock, they'll get to a different gate. And the road wasn't smooth, but it certainly wasn't as bad as that one was. And in all honesty, I didn't get to have all the luxuries. All the things that those people have. I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't run around on my wife, I can't do a lot of things, but I also don't have the consequences those things bring. Right? I may never lie down with a dog, but I don't wake up with fleas. You know what I mean? And then when I get to that gate and I walk through it, and I see my Savior waiting for me there. The one who died so I could put my foot upon that path. The one that rose again so I could make it through that gate. the one who still has the scars. You know, we talk a lot about scars here on earth. Oh, my parents did this, and I was scarred. I was scarred by this. I was scarred by that. And I'm not teasing. I'm not making fun. But there's a lot of things that hurt and shape us, and we develop a bit of a thing about it, right? The only scars we're going to be concerned about are the scars on his hands when we get to heaven. You know that? Those are the only scars we're going to be concerned about. And every time we see him, we get to look down at him. And all the gratitude that's going to well up within us. Lord, thank you. Thank you. He's going to sit there. I don't know if there's going to be high fives in heaven. I hope there is. But you, Lord, thank you. When he embraces you, when he puts his arms around you, those same arms that were stretched wide open for all the world to see. Thank you. And the biggest thing we can thank him for, yes, is the blood. But let us never forget that it was him that gave us the knowledge as to where the gate was. Not only qualifying and calling us to that path, but showing us every step of the way. We need to make sure that when we're looking at this world, we know what we're looking at. Because sometimes that broad path confuses us. Well, they're allowed to do it. It's not about allowed or not allowed. Some stuff works, some stuff don't. That's what you got to understand. God says this stuff works. God says this stuff doesn't. Get your head around it. It's not about, well, some kids are allowed to have the Kool-Aid. Some kids are only allowed to have Tang. Some kids can only have water, right? It just really depends on what you're allowed. No, that's not what it is. Some stuff's good for you. Some stuff's bad for you. The stuff that God says is good for you is good for you, and it works. The stuff that God says is bad for you, and it don't work. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the beginning. It doesn't work. It's a placebo. You know what a placebo is, right? It's those sugar pills they give you to make you feel better, but doesn't treat anything going on with you. That's what the world offers. Well, won't it make you feel good when you can just let your body have whatever it wants? Won't it make you feel good to just be able to say yes to yourself all the time? Won't it make you feel good? And people say, yes, I feel free. I feel good. I don't feel anxiety. And then that gate opens. And they realize that the anxiety was waiting for them. That the pain was waiting for them. The punishment was waiting for them. But for us, all those things will fall away and we'll go through that gate and we'll never desire sin again. I think that's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most. To never desire sin again. To lose this old flesh will be a joy, but to lose the part of the flesh that desires nonsense, to be able to think clearly. Amen. To be able to understand without the pulls of carnality. Whoo! Be sure you know what you're looking at. And I want to rest you assured of this. How many paths did we read about? How many kinds of teachers did we read about? How many outcomes at the end of life are we looking at? Anybody comes up whistling to you about a third or a fourth option is lying to you. It's the broad path. It might be the left side of the broad path. It might be the right side of the broad path. It might be underneath the broad path. But rest assured, it's the same gate in the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the straight gate. And Lord, though it may be narrow, and Lord, it may require some specificity, Father, it doesn't cost us anything, but it's worth more than anything we have here on earth. Lord, I pray that we desire godly things. That, Father, you continue to convict us and mature us and grow us, that we may desire the things that belong to you. Lord, I pray that if there be somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's never repented of their sins, never told you they believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, I pray, Lord, you convict them now. Help us, Lord. For those that have been saved, Lord, and we sit here and we look like we're on the broad path. And we're visiting the broad path and we're taking things from the broad path. Lord, I pray you convict us too. So that, Father, we be on the right path, listening to the right things and staying away from the ravening wolves. Lord, we are so grateful that you would even listen to this request. But Father, we're even more grateful knowing that you are able to grant us these requests. That Father, we may find ourselves in a life more abundant as your Son came to give us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Stand together. Have the